All right, welcome to Free Association. This is another video by Dr. Richard Fleming. I think it was originally on InfoWars, but it's Richard Fleming, so he doesn't really put up with nonsense. Let me just play the video. It's about half an hour. I haven't watched it all, but starts off quite well. Here we go.
Some very important information on the SARS-CoV-2 drug vaccines by taking a microscopic examination of really what the Pfizer vaccine does when it comes into contact with red blood cells or a person's blood and the concerns that I've had with these. The investigation that you're going to see was a combined project between Dr. Kevin McCarron, PhD, neurobiologist in Japan, originally from the UK, and myself. And we did this in the last several days, actually. One of the slides that I like to share with people is that the difference between a PhD, MD, JD is that PhDs actually figure out problems while MDs treat them, and JDs typically cause them. And this presentation, we believe, will have all three effects. For the last 22 months, there has been a huge amount of misinformation, so much that, you know, it's phenomenal how much misinformation versus real information has gotten out there, including people who've said that the virus isn't real and hasn't been isolated, to people confusing virus SARS-CoV-2 with the disease COVID-19, to misinformation about PCR testing and misinformation about masking, to confusion between the use of terms like cytokine storm versus inflammatory thrombotic response, which is what's really going on, to people being told to take certain drugs that there's absolutely no proof that they work, while other people are being told that other medications that do work can't be provided. All the way from there to doctors not treating symptomatic patients until it's too late, to physicians using the ventilators incorrectly, to doctors being threatened if they actually try to treat patients with loss of their license or legal actions, to the promotion of vaccines that the emergency use authorization documents actually show do not statistically lower the incidence of COVID or deaths, to a failure to provide informed consent for people receiving the vaccines, to individuals overstepping their constitutional legal authority, including mandates, to blaming the unvaccinated for the promulgation of vaccines, to actually people claiming there are things in the vaccines that simply aren't there. And so it's this latter one that we really want to look at today, because there is so much misinformation about what's in the vaccines, all the way from the pictures at the upper left-hand corner that talk about graphene oxide, and to the right of that little creatures, the video here that we won't play at this point in time is from Dr. Zalewski, who was giving a presentation explaining that he had found the eggs of these creatures and their three-legged creatures. A lot of misinformation is simply scalable and has not done nothing to add to the scientific discussion and the important discussion about what's in these vaccines. I've been concerned about the vaccines themselves, and so you can see here that I sent Dr. Borla on the 30th of January the first request for Pfizer information on the emergency use authorization documents. I submitted three of these to Pfizer and have received no response given the concerns, and you can see that we were talking about antibody-dependent enhancement and potential for the gene therapy interactions, and knowledge that the lipid nanoparticles actually cross the blood-brain barrier, and all of the concerns that we had. This document has not been responded to by Pfizer. You'll see that the same thing occurred for the Moderna vaccine, that also on the 30th of January I submitted requests, and we followed this up for a total of three with no response from Pfizer or Moderna. The problem for all of us is that we've been depending upon the FDA. The Food and Drug Administration has reviewed these vaccines and issued emergency use authorization documents. And while there's a lot of material here under this mission statement, the key point is that the FDA is responsible for protecting the public health and ensuring the safety of these medical products. If you also look, unfortunately, at what happens with many people in the FDA, you can see that Scott Gottlieb and Stephen Hahn have actually now acquired jobs at Pfizer and Moderna, and they were former FDA heads. You can also tell that mainstream media with Mr. Smith from Reuters now has a job at Pfizer, and it's anybody's guess right now where Dr. Fauci is planning to be employed in the future, although given the recent information that shows that he did commit perjury when he was being deposed by Senator Dr. Rand Paul regarding gain-of-function research at NIH and NIAID, he might be looking for a new job in the near future, and he might have one in China. The failure for any of these vaccine companies to respond resulted in me submitting a letter to Janet Woodcock, who is the head of the FDA, acting commissioner. This document actually shows that myself and several colleagues, as you can see here on the bottom right, submitted a letter requesting from Dr. Woodcock information and a cessation of the vaccines until some of our concerns could be taken care of. You'll see on the very bottom left a way for you to reach Dr. Woodcock at the FDA. There's her email address, her telephone number, and her address should the listener want to take and submit their questions to Dr. Woodcock, and I would encourage you to do so. Last week, I received a response from the FDA from Paul Richards, and as you can see here, that document shows that the FDA believes that the vaccines are completely safe, that they've looked at them, and if you go to the middle one at the very bottom, you can see that Paul Richards includes, in closing, these vaccines have met the FDA's robust standards for safety, efficacy, and manufacturing quality. Now, that's a fairly bold statement from the FDA, and it would suggest to me that they've done a thorough job of evaluating these vaccines and what's in them, and that would include anything under the microscope. And so we decided to investigate what's actually in these drug vaccines. But we did more than people have done in the past with simply putting drops of the vaccine under a microscope. My real question, as and Dr. McCarron's question, was what does this drug vaccine actually do when it hits the blood? And we know that these vaccines travel around the body, which means they're clearly in the blood. This has been known since 2017. Moderna lipid nanoparticle research showed that the vaccine spread all over the body. So we conducted some research, which included light microscopy. You can see the microscope here, human blood. We actually took Dr. McCarron's normal saline, the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine, and recording equipment. You're going to see bits and pieces of what we saw under the microscope, both real time and then some static pictures. This is Dr. McCarron and myself and Professor Luc Montagnier. All three of us have provided affidavits to the International Criminal Court for a case that's been filed jointly between the UK, France, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic. So here's what we tested. We looked at Dr. McCarron's blood under the microscope so that you can see what blood looks like just by itself with nothing else happening. Then we looked to see what happened when we added sterile. That means there's nothing in it. No growth, no garbage, normal saline, to see what that did to the blood. We then followed that up by checking to see what happens to the blood when we injected some of the Pfizer BioNTech drug vaccine. We then looked to see what the vaccine looked like just by itself under the microscope. And then we looked to see what normal saline looked like by itself under the microscope to do a comparison of all of this so that we could then report honestly and transparently to you what we saw and show you what's really happening with these vaccines. And we repeated this several times over many days. The red blood cells get their color red because of a combination of what's called hemoglobin and oxygen. If the red blood cells lose oxygen, as you can see in the upper two syringes, so that cardiologists like myself, when we're concerned about holes in the heart and the lungs, will draw samples of the blood in the right side of the heart, in the left side of the heart, and in the lungs to see how much oxygen there is. Now, the blood coming back to the right side of the heart is coming from the body where the oxygen has been partially used, and that blood is darker in color because there's less red, vibrant blood from the oxygen. After it goes to the lungs and out to the body, it should have the vibrant red color, as shown in the bottom three syringes. But over the course of this COVID-19 inflammation and blood clotting, what happens is that the lungs have difficulty getting oxygen into the blood, and so the blood loses some of its vibrant color, and this is why people have respiratory problems and are short of breath, and eventually many of them have ended up on ventilators. But if you actually remove all of the oxygen from the blood, or you destroy the hemoglobin, that oxygen-carrying molecule from the red blood cells, the red blood cells lose their color. Red blood cells are themselves unusual in shape. They have what's called a biconcave disc. So in the center part, they're thinner than on the outer part. And this is where the oxygen-carrying capacity is. And so I'd like to run the video here. And what you can see here is the red blood cells under a microscope. And you can see them moving, slowly but surely moving. And it's just a nice example of these red blood cells under a microscope. And so that is simply a static picture reminding you of what the red blood cells look like. You can see this central darker area and then the rim around it. And this is just a light microscope of what red blood cells look like. So red blood cells are biconcave. They have that disc, and their function is to carry oxygen from the lungs to the body, pick up carbon dioxide, and carry it back to the lungs. And the slide that you're on right now, it shows us what happens when you take red blood cells and you simply add normal saline to it, which is called normal saline because it's what's in your blood. So you can actually see the red blood cells in the right half of the field. You can see the red blood cells moving around. That's because the saline has been added to them, and that allows them to flow. But you see this vibrant red color throughout with the red blood cells, and there goes some red blood cells floating across the screen as we kind of continue to watch it. And that's because there's fluid there, so you can tell that the normal saline has been added to it. And it gives you a good impression of the vibrancy of blood when it's not been damaged. That's a nice picture of what you just saw. So you can compare on the upper left half is where the blood was so thick that you couldn't see through it. And the right two-thirds of the image is just simply the red blood cells being shown with their oxygen-carrying capacity. So red blood cells move with the addition of saline. They're biconcave. They're carrying oxygen, no different than what we saw with just simply the blood by itself with the addition of saline. You can see the, as we come into focus here, you can see the Pfizer vaccine causing some movement of the red blood cells. And we're scanning around here to show you other areas where the vaccine's not. You can see how thick and rich the blood is. But as we get over into the area where the Pfizer vaccine has been added, you can see the cells not only are thinning out, but they're losing some of the red color. Now, again, that red color is because of oxygen and hemoglobin. And you can see now cells beginning to float together, and they are beginning to clump as you see them floating through the bloodstream, through the Pfizer vaccine. And this shows the loss of either the oxygen or the hemoglobin being pulled out, and the clumping now, this inflammation and blood clotting that's occurring with red blood cells just simply with the addition of the vaccine. And this only took a minute or two to really be seen. You can see here a much more pronounced area. This is an area that you can see the complete loss of red color after another minute, and you can see the movement of the red blood cells there, but they're not so red anymore. They have lost their oxygen carrying capacity, so that this blood floating through a human being after the injection of the Pfizer vaccine will have a significant reduced ability to carry the life-saving oxygen from the lungs to the body. And in the next slide, we're going to look at what that appears. We're going to play this video. This is what happens under a higher magnification. So we're looking at 40 times before, and this is 100 times. And you can now see, as we're moving around, these are red, and you can see a very nice droplet effect there from the Pfizer vaccine. And you can contrast that to the red blood cells that have not been touched by the vaccine that are surrounding this entire entire area where the vaccine is. And you can see the movement of the red blood cells even inside that Pfizer droplet. And just the sheer lack of red showing that the cells have lost their oxygen, either the oxygen or the hemoglobin has been damaged simply by dropping the Pfizer vaccine on the slide of red blood cells. So these are two still pictures of what it looks like under 40 times magnification under the microscope. The left one was some of the first video we saw, and the right one some of the latter video we saw. And again, the contrast is very clear. The area of the red blood cells affected by the Pfizer vaccine shows a marked discoloration. There's loss of the oxygen, which means either the oxygen itself has been pulled out or the hemoglobin that carries the oxygen has been damaged, which means the oxygen is no longer in the cell. And this is the consequence of Pfizer vaccine being added to human blood. This is not compatible with a good outcome, as we've seen over and over and over again with deaths and injuries in the VAERS reporting system. Under 100 power, you can see the contrast again, with the left side being some of the first images. You can see to the left half the loss of hemoglobin, the loss of coloration from the Pfizer vaccine, and to the right part of that image are the red blood cells that weren't affected by the Pfizer vaccine. And then in the right half of the image, you'll see that second picture that shows that huge area, that's just a single droplet effect of the Pfizer vaccine on red blood cells and the complete leaching out of oxygen. It's very clear from these videos, and we have more, and we did this multiple times, that the red blood cells, once the Pfizer vaccine is added, become paler. That means that the oxygen has been lost, they're desaturated, and the videos show that those red blood cells were beginning to clump, and this was in a matter of minutes of just simply being exposed to the Pfizer vaccine.
There you go. That's one of the things.
The slides. So this looks like more crystalline garbage crap.
But we keep seeing this a lot. Don't see it on the slide. You see it in the vaccine.
Yeah, but this isn't a living creature of some sort. Or I mean, this is garbage.
Yeah. I'm not. It's just aggregations, and we've seen like crystalline. So you can see to the right of it. There's a fiber-like structure sort of coming in and out.
Yes, yeah.
There's some down here, and
I mean, how do you get by with this? I mean, how does this pass quality control?
I have no idea. The only thing that I've said is that this is done with minimum wage for the skill set that's required to mass produce it.
Right. I mean, they gear this up so fast that I don't think that they have the people trained or to do the job.
I think they had many years. They were going to go for Zika. All this infrastructure was in place, and that's how they could spin it up so quickly. I hate using their words plandemic, but here's a lot of fibers.
So you can see here a tremendous amount of garbage material in the Pfizer vaccine. There's no little creatures. There's no graphene showing up. There's lots of lipid nanoparticles, but there's other crystals, and there's fibers, and there's garbage that simply would not pass quality control. And for the FDA to say that they are happy with the end product of this, and that it meets manufacturing specifications, this is not what you would approve to inject inside of a human being. It's never been acceptable to inject this type of garbage inside of a human being. So what we see here are just three still pictures. You can see in the far left the image of the just one of these crystalline structures. You can see in the middle some of the other garbage and that's seen as well as on the far right. So there's clearly lipid nanoparticles there, but there's also just a host of other garbage. It's very clear that the Pfizer-BioNTech doesn't have graphene, it's certainly not to the extent that people have been suggesting. There's no microchips, there's no alien life forms. All of these conversations have made it very challenging to address what these drug vaccines really do. But it does appear, it is very obvious, and we had five different vials of the Pfizer vaccine that we analyzed, that there's considerable degree in garbage, all of which violates accepted standards for product liability. And certainly it's not in keeping with the expected safety that the FDA is responsible for guaranteeing, either an improved product to inject into people, independent upon whether that product is fully approved or authorized for use under the emergency use authorization. So by contrast, you can see what normal saline looks like. 3 to 6 o'clock, that's the whiter area, shows the slide. And above that is the fluid, which is normal saline. And you don't see garbage floating around the in the normal saline.
This is not your, mass-produced, I mean, Japanese caught the contamination straight away. I mean, it's not hard, right? Yet they've still gone ahead and...
Yeah.
This stuff sometimes, but... I mean, the little specks that you see are just artifacts on the glass.
So this... I mean, that's Dr. McCarron and myself talking as we were analyzing this under the microscope and recording it. You can actually see this is normal saline. You don't see crystalline garbage. You don't see fibers. You don't see other strands. This is what's expected when you inject into a human being, that you not have this garbage. So, you know, this provides the control. And this was the same normal saline that then was put into the red blood cells, as you saw earlier, that simply caused the red blood cells to float in fluid, you know, the saline, but didn't cause any damage to the red blood cells as the Pfizer vaccine did. So this is a nice little example for people of some of the artifact that has actually been seen. In the upper left hand, you'll see the streaks going across the glass. That's what fluid looks like when it's drying out under the microscope, and much of the artifact that you're seeing, there's nothing but the drying of the fluid. And then below that, you see those big round rings that many people have talked about being nanoparticles in the vaccines. Those round rings are nothing but air bubbles on a wet mount, and which means that you have a slide that you put something with fluid on. And then to the right, A, B, C, and D, this is actually what eggs look like under the microscope of a variety of different parasites. And nothing like that has been shown, including in that initial video that showed the supposed three-legged creature. There are no three-legged creatures in these vaccines. There's just a bunch of garbage. So the normal saline follows accepted product liability and FDA guidelines, and has no garbage in it. The only artifacts that you actually see are the slides themselves, the quality of the slides, because obviously, depending upon who buys the slides, if you're using them in a routine lab versus a pathology lab, that you're going to get different manufacturing qualities of that. And that's why it's important to compare these slides, normal saline, Pfizer vaccine, red blood cells with normal saline, red blood cells with Pfizer vaccine. So you can compare, and then the difference isn't due to what's on the slide or the quality of the slides, but what's really happening as a result of the vaccine and the normal saline. So under the microscope, it's very, very clear that the Pfizer vaccine is filled with a lot of material that simply fails to meet accepted standards for a product to be injected into people, whether it be a drug vaccine or anything else. This demonstrates a complete failure on the FDA's part, particularly when they went ahead and filed letters and documents and sent it back to me that said they're happy with the product that's out there. Well, if they're happy with the product that's out there, It either means that they haven't looked at the product, or they've decided that there's a new standard of garbage that's allowed in drug vaccines that isn't allowed in anything else that's an FDA product. There's a new issue here that comes up with this, which is that the drug vaccine manufacturers have had a certain immunity from liability in the past as to reactions to the drug vaccines, but that presumes that it's just the drug vaccine. There's a different product liability issue now that is before us, and it's strict liability, which is the selling of a defective product that unreasonably threatens a person or consumer. That promotes a new legal liability. And so for all the attorneys listening to this and anybody involved who's had a problem, this opens the legal lawsuit opportunities for addressing these vaccines, because this is now a strict liability product liability lawsuit issue, not an issue of the vaccines themselves. Again, using the FDA's own words, I mean, this is Paul Richards in response to the letter that I submitted to the FDA that they have, they continue to monitor these vaccines, that they have every confidence in these vaccines, that we can be assured that the FDA is doing its job and unwavering in its commitment to us, again, that the vaccines have met the FDA's robust standards for safety, efficacy, and manufacturing quality. These are not the standards required by the FDA for products. These products, what we've seen here from the videos and the still shots, show that the Pfizer vaccine itself causes a desaturation of the blood, removing the oxygen from the red blood cells, which is the function of the red blood cells, to get oxygen around the body. We've seen it in and on the left half of this with the loss of vibrant color from the red blood cells, showing the oxygen has been pulled out. And the Pfizer vaccine themselves in the two-thirds to the right of garbage in the materials, of fiber strands, of other crystalline products, of just junk and garbage in these vaccines, none of which follows FDA standards or required standards for a product to be injected into a human being. The microscopic examination that you just saw, this is the first time that this has been presented, not only still pictures, but actual video recording of what occurs under the microscope, examining red blood cells. And those red blood cells being exposed to the Pfizer-BioNTech drug vaccine biologic, it clearly showed the red blood cells lost their oxygen-carrying capacity. It clearly showed the red blood cells beginning to clot together, this inflammatory thrombotic response. And it clearly showed significant contamination in the Pfizer-BioNTech drug vaccine biologics. We're calling upon the FDA and others to repeat this. Anybody with these, with a microscope, recording equipment, normal saline, Pfizer vaccine, Moderna vaccine, any of these drug vaccines, and blood can repeat this experiment. You don't take my word for it or Dr. McCarron's word for it. This is video. This is evidence now being presented to the world, and it can be repeated by any reputable scientist who has that equipment. And the FDA has an obligation. Its mission statement is to protect the public. It has not protected the public. It has failed. It provided EUA documents approval when the documents showed there was no benefit from the vaccine statistically in the number of COVID cases or deaths. And now we see for the first time evidence of what these vaccines do when they touch red blood cells and the garbage that's in these Pfizer vaccines. And until proven otherwise, all of these vaccines, since the FDA was responsible for evaluating these vaccines and so miserably failed on the Pfizer one, not only for these experiments to be replicated, but for the FDA, the CDC, and the federal government to investigate all three of these concerns, the desaturation of oxygen, the inflammatory thrombotic blood clotting effect, and the contaminations. And until resolved, the FDA has an obligation, a commitment to the American public, and I would argue every country's equivalent agencies to pull these vaccines off the market until these three issues can be addressed, because one of these issues would be enough to pull these vaccines off the market, but three of them is game, set, match. This is unacceptable on the part of the FDA, unacceptable on the part of Big Pharma, unacceptable for a mandate. The CDC to state that federal employees are going to be educated about these vaccines if police officers and fire and military do not take the vaccines. Well, that education then needs to go right back to the CDC and the FDA, because here's documentation of real harm being caused by these vaccines and real damage and garbage in these vaccines. I gave the Pfizer and Moderna companies an opportunity to respond to concerns beginning in January. We gave the FDA an opportunity to respond to concerns and got one of these standard, what I consider just basically form letters that says, oh, thanks, guys. Dr. Fleming, thanks for being concerned, but rest assured, we've got you covered. We're doing our job. Well, this information shows you're not doing your job. You've got vaccines that are garbage, allowing garbage and debris to be injected into people. We very clearly show that the red blood cells were normal. We show that the red blood cells responded normally to normal saline, that nothing unusual will happen. But add the Pfizer vaccine and the red blood cells lose their oxygen carrying capacity and the red blood cells start to clot. This is exactly what I laid out in the 1994 theory of the inflammatory thrombotic response. This is exactly what we're seeing with the VAERS reporting. This is exactly what we're seeing with neurologic harm, with heart, with cardiac harm, with blood clots occurring in the body. This is proof positive that these vaccines cause this type of damage under the microscope just simply by being added to the blood of a human being. And with that, I want to say thank you. And I think it's time for the FDA and CDC to actually do their job instead of giving it lip service.
All right, so I'll post the video link in the description, but it's a video that's on BitChute, and it's on the Free Speech Warrior channel, and the video is called Dr. Richard Fleming, Medical Bombshell, Pfizer Vax Attacks Human Blood, Creating Clots Under Microscope, and I'll post the link. But that's pretty much it. Richard Fleming does a very, very, very good job. He doesn't get caught up in conspiracy theories or nano chip agendas or aliens or anything like that. He just does the job of a cardiologist. And that's it. That's what we need. We need people who are going to get stuck into the science and the medical issues, and then we can get these bastards on the documentation that they put out themselves. If they're not doing their job, we can get the bastards. And once we've got them in court, we can get them for something else and something else and something else. That's how it's got to go. So forget the alien in the vaccine theory. That's rubbish. Just get the bastards on their own documentation. Anyway, that's it. That's it from me. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.